Hello, my name is Melissa Moravec, and I'm from Casa Carneros Vineyards in the southern part of the Napa Valley in Carneros. And I invite you to come and learn more about our Pinot Noirs and our wine and winemaking at www.casacarneros.com.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain. Welcome to Wine and Dine. I've grown a lot of houseplants in my life and a lot of plants in the garden, but I have never ventured into this very precarious and mysterious world of growing orchids. The 62nd annual Pacific Orchid Exposition features a symphony of orchids and all that jazz. Join us on February 20th for the kickoff of the four-day Pacific Orchid Exposition at the much-anticipated Wine Gala benefit. The gala gives attendees the chance to view and purchase some of the best orchids in the world while they enjoy delicious hors d'oeuvres and, of course, taste wines from some of California's premier wineries, including winners from the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition, 6:30 to 10 p.m., Thursday, February 20th at Fort Mason in San Francisco. For special ticket pricing and free ticket contests, go to vinvillage.com because Vin Village is where wine lovers connect. Today we get to meet somebody that we've never met before, and this is really a great pleasure because her shtick, seriously, for a long time, is Pinot Noir. And Pinot Noir, we're talking different clones of Pinot Noir. Melissa Moravec, along with her husband, Kurt Riom, are proprietors of Casa Carneros Vineyard in Napa. They planted a 7-acre vineyard in 1989 at their home in Carneros with 8 different clones of Pinot Noir. And the woman's been studying Pinot Noir for a long time. After going to school at Davis, she went to work at Carneros Creek Winery, where she was initially there as a research enologist to supervise the Pinot Noir clonal research project and ended up becoming their winemaker. Melissa, I'm curious. Of course, you know, Carneros is all about Pinot Noir, but were you into Pinot Noir before even attending school at Davis? And also, are you born and raised in the Carneros region?
No and no. I was not into Pinot Noir before I went to Carneros Creek. I had made Pinot Noir once as a home winemaker, and it was terrible. And no, I'm not from the Carneros wine region. I'm originally from Southern California, but I've lived in Northern California. I came up here to go to college in Berkeley initially, and then later Davis for winemaking, and just fell in love with Northern California. It's just much more of my heart than where I was raised. I like wide open spaces and agricultural and beautiful views, not so many skyscrapers.
And it's a different mindset also. Can I ask, what were you studying originally at Berkeley? Or what was your intention?
At Berkeley, originally, I a little 17-year-old girl from the suburbs of Los Angeles, I was studying anthropology, which was fascinating, but I was also putting myself through school. So after a couple of years, I kind of said, you know, I need to find something that's going to make me excited about what I'm doing every day when you go to work. And, you know, you can, and anthropology, I didn't want to become a PhD and teach. So I quit for a couple of years. Got into chemistry, thought I wanted to be a chemist, ran into winemaking and said this is the perfect match of art and science, which is a good description of where I come from, really.
That makes perfect sense, yes. And you must be a very smart woman in that you, I mean, chemistry is difficult enough, but you were also from the UC Davis Department of Viticulture and Enology. You received a citation for excellence. Was that in lab work?
It was for overall, really. It was overall excellence in the program. And I think what it just reflected is that I came to a time in my life where I figured out what I wanted to do, which is, as a young person, that's very exciting.
Yes.
You know, you kind of go, what am I going to do? And I had finally figured out that winemaking and grape growing was it. And so it was easy to excel. And, you know, it's funny you bring that up because most people don't know about that, but it's actually one of those, you get a lot of awards as you go through your life, but that's one I'm actually quite proud of, but I don't talk about it too much. So thank you for that.
Oh my gosh, yes. Now tell us, you are pouring your wines, and I'm assuming your husband will be with you also from Casa Carneros at this event. Is this the first time you're pouring at the Pacific Orchid Exposition?
No. No, not at all. I'm also a hobbyist orchid grower and have been for 30 years. So I'm one of the people that have my feet in both worlds.
Oh, wow.
And I used to go to this event many years ago when it was still a wonderful event, but they had, quite frankly, they didn't have very good wines.
Yes.
And I would go down there and we'd stay overnight at a B&B and just make an event of it. And I finally went to the people who managed the event and I said, you know, you could come to wineries. Wineries will come here and pour. You could have better wines. You know, it's a stellar event. You have the most beautiful orchids. It's a huge event. And you have good food and great entertainment. You could have better wines. And they took me up on that. So instead of going down there with my friends and staying overnight, I go down there and work. But it's okay. It's really a fun event. And, you know, for a good 15 years now, they've been attracting really small artisan wineries, and they've also incorporated the wineries that are the winners in the San Francisco Chronicle wine competition.
Yeah.
And I believe that the San Francisco Ferry Merchant Wine Company has been pouring the last years, and he has quite a wonderful array of, you know, you see unusual wineries, some well-known ones, of course, like Morgan or whatever, but you see some artisan wineries, some small people who, that's where my heart is in the wine business. I think what's exciting about winemaking and wine growing are the people that are actually doing it. You know?
I agree. I love to hear the stories, and you shared stories.
One for everyone,
yes.
You know, and so that's, you know, granted, there is some big business in the wine business, and that's fine. There's a place for it. But what rings my chimes are the small artisan producers, because they're the ones that have the incredible passion.
I agree. You know? I agree. Now, talk to us about your Pinot Noirs. Do you blend these 7 different clones together? How many different bottle wines do you do?
Yes, I do. Because of the initial work that I did coming out of Davis, we were originally working with 20 different selections, trying to find, quote-unquote, the best in Carneros. Silly me, there was no best. What we found was the best was a mix of things. And when I planted my own vineyard, I planted 8 different selections.
Okay.
We did vinify them separately for many, many years, but I've worked with some, these are old friends, and so I've worked with some of them for over 20 years. So now we usually do about 3 to 4 lots, and yes, we do blend it. That was the point of planting this vineyard in the proportions that we did. Is we went into the lab, took what we'd been doing in the clonal project, and then subsequently in larger production vineyards, and we blended what we considered the optimum bottle of wine, and then that's what we planted in that proportion. It's kind of a fantasy. It's a, as my husband would like to say, it's a winemaker's dream and a grower's nightmare, and we're both. So, you know.
Well, you know, there are a lot of vineyards in France that are still, that are many different varieties, let alone clones, Massal collection, and they just bring those all together and vinify them together.
Absolutely. Wine is one of those things, and I'm not just Pinot, but wine in general, is sometimes the sum of what you put into it is more than the individual parts, and that's certainly true with Pinot. I mean, I wouldn't suggest, as a Pinot winemaker, I do not suggest blending other varieties with Pinot unless it's in a tiny, tiny amount, and I don't. Pinot Noir kind of needs to be with its brothers and sisters. Except for a sparkling wine, exactly. But then we're kind of talking apples and pomegranates here. But, you know, if you're talking about a good, fine, still Pinot, you might be able to blend a little Pinot Meunier, and some people will co-ferment with a little white wine. I'm not talking about that. But blend, you know, 20% of a Petit Sirah, you've got a nice red wine, but not a Pinot Noir.
Yeah. So. Now, can people purchase wine from your website?
They can purchase. We only sell direct right now, so they can purchase, you know, call me. That's, you know, the number's on the website. That is the best way to do it. They cannot purchase at the tasting because that's the laws in California.
Okay.
But we're more than happy to, of course, pour wine and talk about it until the cows come home, you know.
Okay, final real quick question here because we're almost out of time. Do you make a rosé just for your own consumption?
We do not. I have made rosés for my own consumption, and I've made them commercially, but we do not. We found as a small business we really needed to focus on, you know, one wine.
Exactly. Everything you've got needs to go into that. Okay, and the website is CasaCarneros.com. Melissa Moravec, we thank you so very much for your time today. This has been a pleasure meeting you.
Thanks, Lynn.
We will have links up for you to learn more, both about the Pacific Orchid Exposition and Casa Carneros, and I would go to VinVillage.com to purchase your tickets. You're listening to Wine and Dine. You're listening to iWine Radio.